بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. This is our, I think, like 19th session of In His Footsteps, and it's a class in order for us to increase our love of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before I get into the next part of his life, I wanted to share some words that scholars have written about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, and the tears that he shed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly in a state of humility and lowliness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout all of his the great events of his life, and in all acts of prayer and devotion, in all of his affairs and his teachings, sermons and revelations he received, and in everything that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did, his humility when praying reached such an extent that a sound could be heard coming from his chest that they say sounded like a boiling pot. One of the Sahaba, they say that my father said, I saw the Messenger of Allah praying and his chest was shaking, trembling. And it had the sound as if water was boiling in a pot. Ibn Khuzaymah, he narrates that Ali, he said that there was no horseman amongst us on the day of Badr except Miqdad. You could have seen us. Every one of us was asleep except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was beneath a tree praying and weeping until the morning. This is who he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, constantly in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second year, last week we talked about this battle of Badr. And the battle of Badr was so clutch because there were so few of us. There was only 313 of us. Against this massive army, and we were completely underprepared for it. And we saw the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came in that moment. And we talked about that last week. This week, I want to talk about another moment in his life, in the second year. And before I get going, I wanted to share one narration. It's a narration in the beginning of many books of Sirah that they say, Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the children of the Sahaba, they say that we used to study the Sirah the way our parents used to teach us the seerah, kama, the way you teach your children Quran. It's really deep because what it's saying is like the same way we sit with our children and we teach them qul huwa Allahu ahad, inna atainaka al-kawthar, the same way we sit there and recite it with them, the tabi'een, they're saying this was the way that we learned the seerah as well. And the reason is that the Quran always has to be connected to the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We gotta switch something there. Okay. And so, this evening, we're going to be talking about a very critical moment. Inshallah, this works. Bismillah, bismillah, testing. We're going to be talking about... No, it's still there. It's all good. We're going to be talking about a very critical moment in the life of the Rasul, second year of Hijrah. And this was the year in which the people of Quraysh, the people of Mecca, had just suffered this horrible defeat. And they were the leaders of the Arabian Peninsula, so everyone looked up to them, and so their honor was really hit hard. Their arrogance was really hit that they lost against this, you know, ragtag group of believers. And so they gathered all of their forces, and they gathered people from the outskirts of Mecca, and they said, you know, we're going to put an end to this. Our objective is to kill Muhammad. And they're setting out to go attack Medina. This will be called, as we all know, the Battle of Uhud. It's a massive moment in the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some scholars say low-key he's already a Muslim. Low-key he's already a Muslim, but he's keeping it low, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is keeping him there so that he can send word what's going on. The moment Abbas heard about what's happening, he sent someone as fast as they could go tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Quraysh are coming, and they're coming 3,000 deep. And this is a massive army for this time. This is unfathomable. 3,000, you know, fully armed with all types of the latest weaponry of the time. And so this person gets to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And Rasulullah ﷺ happens to be at Masjid Quba. There we go. When it's Salat time, turn it back on. The Prophet ﷺ happens to be in Masjid Quba when this person arrives. And the person arrives and he tells him, and there's one other companion with him, and he's like, okay, keep it low. Don't say anything to anyone yet. And he tells a person, I want you to go out and check and see if you see it to be true. So he sends his own person because he wants to make sure. He sends someone and the person comes back. Yeah, Ya Rasulullah, they're on their way. There's 3,000 of them and they're coming strong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathers the companions. They say, before I go forward, they say that there's a hadith that says the people that will be closest to the Prophet on the Day of Judgment are the ones that said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. I just wanted to say that as we continue to go through today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala. They used to say that because of this hadith, it seems like the scholars of hadith would be the ones closest because that's what they do throughout the entire day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the word gets back that indeed it's true, Ya Rasulullah, that there's an army coming. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathers everyone in the masjid and he lets them know what's going on. He said, the Quraysh are coming. And what should we do? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about this, right? He speaks about this. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْعَمَرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet, and we said this last week, one of the most amazing aspects of his leadership is that he always consulted the people around him. So he gathers them all, and he says to them that it's about to go down. They're about to attack us. What should we do? So there were two opinions. There were two opinions. Remember, Badr popped off, Badr happened all of a sudden. Nobody was ready for Badr. It was just like, whoever wants to come, let's go. So there were a lot of people that missed out because we didn't have to go. And so this time we know they're coming. We know what's about to go down. And so now the young Shabab and anyone who missed Badr, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked, should we go out and fight them or should we fight them inside Medina? Medina was a city, it's the buildings are close to one another, the alleys are tight, the date palm trees are close. And Rasulullah himself, he felt that we should stay in Medina. Because if we fight in Medina, can't no one take us in Medina. They even said, if we fight in Medina, the women can attack from the tops of the roofs. Right? I know what y'all thinking, it's all good, mashallah. So if they fight in Medina, no one will be able to beat us. No one will be able to beat us in Medina. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave his opinion. And then somebody by the name of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, this man was the man that was about to become the leader before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina. And he has one deep sickness inside. He wanted to be in charge. And because he couldn't have that position, and he saw that the one who took that from him was Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had animosity against him. But in this situation, he's giving his opinion and he says, I have the same opinion. I think that we should stay inside the city and fight from inside the city. No one ever can beat us in our homeland. No one can ever beat us inside. But some of the young Shabab and anyone who actually missed the battle, they were like, no, we need to go out. Because they wanted that reward of going out. They don't want to just sit home and kind of fight from the window, you know, fighting in the streets. They're like, we want to go out. And they're emphasizing, no, let's go, let's go. We could trust in Allah, we could do this. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was prayer time. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes everybody's opinion. They pray Salah and the Prophet goes in his house, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And everybody's sitting outside waiting, like, what's gonna happen? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, unbeknownst to them, is inside and Aisha is putting on his armor. She's like strapping him up, you know, getting him ready, putting everything on him. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this man who I just read moments ago was the humblest of people in prayer, the most gentlest of people. What is amazing about him is that he was able to give you the quality needed for the situation. That's what's so amazing about the Rasul Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. So this same man that was so gentle with children, this same man that would be crawling on all fours in the masjid and his grandchildren on his back riding him, that same man is now coming out covered in his armor. Covered in his armor. While he was inside getting dressed, the companions were talking amongst themselves. And they were like, yo, I think we forced him too much. I think we pushed our opinion too hard. Like, maybe we should have laid back. After the, at the end of the day, he is the Prophet of Allah. sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe we should have just let him go with his opinion. So they're all talking and they're like, you know what, when he comes out, we'll tell him, like, don't worry, Ya Rasulullah, we'll do what you want to do. The Prophet ﷺ comes out with his armor. And that's exactly what they say. They say, Ya Rasulullah, we're sorry, we pushed too hard, but we don't mind fighting in the city. And in this moment, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us all something so important. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comes out and now he's ready for war. He's ready for battle. And now they're flipping. They're like, oh no, we can stay. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says these powerful words. He says, it doesn't befit a prophet after he puts on his armor that Allah doesn't decide between him and the enemy. He won't take off his armor until Allah decides between him and his enemy. What the scholars say, Sheikh Ramadan Bhuti says something profound. A lot of us struggle a lot with decision making. We struggle a lot. Should I take the job? Should I get married? Should I do this? Should I move in here? Should I move to Dallas? Yeah, move to Dallas. Come through. We got you. Right? Like we struggle with decisions. Rasulullah, he taught us something so profound. You do mashwara, number one. Should I do it? Talk to people of intelligence, right? Then after that, what did he do? He did istikhara. Always do istikhara. A lot of us don't understand what istikhara actually means. Istikhara is, it comes from the word khair. Istikhara actually comes from the word khair. So it's asking Allah to put khair in whatever you do. He did istikhara, he came out. And this is where a lot of us mess up. He came out. And when now they wanted to switch opinions back and forth, Rasul says, we made a decision. Now, before I go forward, we know how this battle ends. We lose this battle. We lose this battle. So, but the lesson is still taught that when you do istikhara, when you make a decision, and then the Quran came to confirm it. It was the verse I just said. Rasulullah, the verse was revealed after the fact. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. When you make a decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. How many of us in this room right now, there's a decision we need to make, and we've made it, but we keep oscillating back and forth. Maybe not, maybe not, maybe not. Rasulullah, he knows in this moment, decisiveness is what we need. We can't have wafflers at this moment. We need decisiveness. And so the Prophet ﷺ taught us something profound. And so what's the method, the prophetic approach to decision making? First thing, the Prophet ﷺ would never, if he had two choices, the hadith says, he always chose the easier of the two, as long as it wasn't sinful. Whenever there was sin, it wasn't even on the table. Like the option for haram, it wasn't even on the table. But if there were two decisions, he took the easier one. Number two, he would consult people. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? After that, istikhara. The third step, he would decide. And from that point on, there's no more like, oh, what if I did? Oh, what would Uhud had been like if we stayed inside? La, we've been watching too much Doctor Strange. There's no a multiverse, yo. There's a reality that was maktub. There was a reality that was going to happen, and that's all that there was. You know why this is so profound? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the kalimatu low min ash-shaytan, that the word low, man, if I had just got married to that first dude that gave the proposal, man, you got three kids already. You back like 20 years ago, man, what would have happened? La, that was maktub. There was that maktub written. There was no way to get around that. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught us this, that the kalimatul law, this word if, tuftahu abwab ash-shaytan, it opens the door to shaytan. Oh, what if I did this? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comes out. And like a leader, like a man, he comes out and he's wearing his armor, right? And like just that process for me, just imagining him in the house suiting up. So like, yo, I used to play football, right? And I can't say this with Abdullah Hussein in the room, but I wouldn't care. I used to play high school football. And one of the most hype parts of it is when you were suiting up, when you were getting ready, right? Your mindset ready for that, right? So anyways, that was just a little tangent. So Rasulullah, I said him, he comes out and they're like, ya Rasulullah, maybe we should stay. Rasulullah's like, no, now we have to go forward. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, that guy that was supposed to be the leader, he's still hot. But he has to go along with the group because he's part of the community. They start to set out. They start to leave Medina. Everyone gets their armor on. Everyone gets ready. We have to leave. There's 1,000 of us. We're already down 3-1. There's 1,000 of us ready to set out. We get halfway to Uhud. Uhud isn't far from Medina, y'all. When you're standing at Masjid Nabawi, you look out, you can see Uhud, right? So they're on their way. And as they're on their way, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he says, you know, this man, now he has people that are under his influence still. They're later called the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. But they were just following what everyone in the city was doing. So that's why they were with the Muslims. But they didn't really believe. They thought this was a phase. It's going to pass and come and go. So he says, they're halfway to Uhud. And Abdullah bin Ubay, he goes, you know what? This man didn't listen to me. He listened to these youngsters. Why am I going to go out there and die for no reason? I'm going back. And in that moment, he turns around and 300 people follow him. We only had 1,000, others 300. And what's amazing, this is interesting. See, it takes a lot of courage, right? It takes a lot of faith and courage to be going out with the odds against you, fighting for the sake of Allah and fighting for Jannah and fighting for your Prophet. It takes a lot of courage. And when people around you start flaking, then you start thinking, well, maybe I should flake too. Maybe I should dip too. There were two tribes, Banu Salama and Banu Harith. Both of these tribes, when they saw Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul leave, they were like, you know what? Maybe we should leave too. Allah tells us about this. إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ There were two groups that were true believers. But see, this is the key. Some of us, many of us, we believe, we're strong. But when people around us start flaking and start, then we start thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about that group right there. He says, إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ There were two groups that were just about to break off, right? وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا Allah protected them. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah protected them. They stayed there and they kept with the group and they didn't give up. So what happens next? We arrive at Uhud. When we arrive at Uhud, the first thing the Prophet ﷺ does, there's only how many of us now, y'all? 700. The Prophet ﷺ takes 50 people. And I need you to picture the topography just for a moment. So you're looking in front of you. There's this massive mountain, the mountain of Uhud. And it's just, it's very long. It's a few kilometers long, actually, right? It's a massive mountain. And right under it, there's this valley. And across from the valley is a small mountain. On that mountain, the Prophet ﷺ, he put 50 archers. And he set up in the valley. We're facing like that way in the valley, right? The mountain's behind us there. The archers are right here. And we're setting up camp, like our back to the mountain, but right there. Rasulullah ﷺ gives this key instructions. And this is where we see the brilliance of the Prophet ﷺ. In every aspect of life, from a militaristic perspective, the genius of the Prophet ﷺ has been studied by academics from West and East, and they say he was brilliant. Where did this come from? He tells the archers, he says, stay on this mountain and protect our back. We're going to engage. We need you to protect us from behind so nobody can come around and hit us from this side. So he says, he emphasizes, it doesn't matter what happens to us. If birds are eating at our corpses, don't leave this spot. Abdullah bin Jubair is put in charge of them. They set up shop and they get down into the valley. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is setting everyone up and the Quraysh arrive in the valley. The battle pretty much starts right away. The battle starts right away. And as the battle begins, right away, this is really beautiful. The Prophet ﷺ is setting up the lines. And he takes out his sword and he lifts it up in front of all of the soldiers ready to fight. And he says, who will take this sword from me and fight with it, but do haq to it? يَأْخُذُ مِنِّي بِحَقِّهِ Who will take my sword and fight with it? With its haq. And with its haq means like you fulfill its right. Right? Now that's heavy because this is the Prophet ﷺ's sword. And so there's one sahaba, his name is Abu Dujana. Abu Dujana, he I don't know what language to use to describe him. He stood up and he said, I'll take it, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah is like, are you sure? He said, I'll take it, Ya Rasulullah. Abu Dujana was known, whenever he got battle was about to start, he would take out a red bandana. They called it Asabatul Maut. They called it the bandana of death. He would wrap his head with it, right? He took out his bandana as per norm. He put it around his head, and he's holding the sword, and he begins to strut in front of the Quraysh, like in between the two armies. He's strutting very boastfully, right? And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at him. And subhanAllah, look at what he says. The Prophet sees him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, Hada mashya, this is a walking, yubghidhu Allah. Allah hates, except in this situation. Meaning, like, we're supposed to walk with humility. Like, we're not supposed to, like prance around and walk with a hubris. But in this situation, humility isn't what we need. We need fighters in this moment. We need people who are going to stand up. And so, subhanAllah, so profound, because he's teaching us that just because something is shunned upon in one situation doesn't mean it's shunned upon in every situation. And so Abu Dujana, he takes the sword, and they say that he was fighting, and people were falling to his left and his right, falling to his left and his right. And everybody is like, what is he doing? This man is like next level. And all of a sudden, this person covered with their face covered on horseback comes riding at him. And he makes the horse fall. And when the horse falls, the cover from their face moves, and he sees it's a woman. And she charges at him, and he says, get back from me, get back from me. The hand of the Prophet never touched a woman. How could his sword ever touch a woman? The hand of the Prophet, this is the Prophet's sword. I can't touch you. Please move, get out of here. He pushed her away. Abu Dujana was next level. The battle begins. And right from the beginning of the battle, it's a clear victory for the Muslims. Clear victory. The Munafiqeen had left. All we had was clear, sincere believers. We don't care if we lost 300. We didn't need those 300. They were a cancer to us. We don't want them with them. They're not good extra weight. We need sincere Muslims. And right from the beginning, it's a victory. It's a victory. Abu Sufyan, by the way, was in charge of the Quraysh army. He turns away and he's fleeing out the valley. Remember I told you, Uhud is back here and we're fighting in the valley. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is right in the front and the battle is going. Abu Sufyan begins to flee. One of the people in charge of the cavalry of the Quraysh was Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid was one of the most excellent minds from a militaristic perspective. Khalid bin Walid, they all start to flee. And in that moment, the archers on the mountain see that the enemy is leaving, and now all the spoils of war are just laying there. And so now they start to talk. A group of them are like, we gotta go, let's go. Like, it's time to like get the spoils of war, let's go. And Abdullah bin Jubair, he's like, no, do you remember what the Prophet said? He said, don't move. They're like, yeah, but that's what he meant in the moment. But now it's over, let's just go. They begin to argue. Out of the 50, 40 leave, there's only 10 left. Khalid bin Walid sees it, he comes around the back. And when he comes around the back, he attacks the archers and he kills them. And then as he's coming into the valley, he screams out, U'lul Hubul, U'lul Hubul. That was the name of their idol. He says, may Hubul be elevated. And he's screaming. When Abu Sufyan's fleeing and he hears that, he turns around and comes back. And now what happens? The Muslims are in the middle. Khalid ibn Walid is coming from behind. Abu Sufyan is coming from this way. Everyone is running helter-skelter. Everyone is confused. What's going on? It got so confusing that they say some Muslims ended up killing other Muslims. That's how confusing it was. And in that moment, there was a man by the name of Ibn Qamina, Mus'ab bin Umair. He was the young man who accepted Islam. He was the most well-dressed, most best perfume in Mecca. When he accepted Islam, his mom kicked him out the house. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to see him wearing two tattered clothes. And he looked at him. He said, this used to be the best dressed kid of Mecca. Now look at him. He wasn't looking derogatory. He's like, now look at his honor. He doesn't even care. He's carrying the sword, but he was completely covered. And he used to look like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was covered. So this man, Ibn Qamina, comes and he strikes him down and he kills him. So he screams, I've killed Muhammad. I've killed Muhammad. And all of a sudden, the Sahaba don't know what to do. They're confused. What's going on? Like, he can't die. We have so much to do. He can't die. And in that moment, a large group, majority almost, they all start fleeing. They all start fleeing. Some of them just sit down like there's no point. Some of them start fleeing until the point there were only 20 people surrounding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 20 people, the rest had fled. They all ran away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's screaming, "Ilayya, ilayka ibadallah, servants of Allah, come back. But right now it's flight or fright. They're not thinking. You're just fleeing. Some of them went as far as they got back to Medina. Like, they got back to the city of Medina. Anas bin Nadr, another Sahaba, he wasn't at either battle. He arrives in Medina from a business, from trade. He arrives as they're arriving back in Medina. He's like, "Ya Muslimun, what's going on?" They're like, "Qutila Muhammad, the Prophet ﷺ is dead." He's like, "Qutila Muhammad wa antum hunak, he's dead and you're here? Why are we living? Let's go." And he takes everyone right back to the battlefield. While they're on the battlefield, as I told you, everyone was fleeing. And now the Prophet ﷺ and about 20 companions are pushed up towards the mountain. They're pushed up towards the mountain. And as they're being pushed up towards the mountain, the only thing behind them is the mountain. And now the Kufar al-Quraysh are attacking with everything they have because their mission is just to kill the Prophet. They realize that he's still alive. So they're pushing and they're trying. And this was the moment when there were about 10 or 20 companions who gave everything that they had to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was sitting there. He was shooting arrow after arrow. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words. He says, "May my mother and father be sacrificed. Keep shooting. And they're pushing them back. Talha bin Ubaidullah is there fighting, defending. There's a woman by the name of Ummi Amara. She was there. And the narration about her is that she saw the Prophet fighting two people at the same time. And so she comes and she's defending him and she's fighting. And Ibn Qamina, the same one who killed Mus'ab, he comes and he strikes her arm. And her arm falls and she keeps fighting. And he realizes that he's fighting a woman, so he pushes her away. From a distance, her son sees her. Her son runs over to his mother. And in that moment, you know what she says? She says to her son, "Get away from me, defend the Prophet. Get away from me, defend the Prophet." After the battle, the Prophet, because her arm got hit three times. After the battle, the Prophet came to her and he said, "Kayfa tutiq? How did you handle that? She said, Atiqu, I can take it if I could be with you in Jannah." The Prophet said, "Anti wa ahlu baytika ma'i fil Jannah." He said, "You and your family are with me in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. You're with me in Jannah." The Prophet ﷺ and his companions get pushed back. Ibn Qamina comes up and he swings over the companions and he hits the Prophet ﷺ. And this is the moment. The helmet of the Prophet ﷺ, he was wearing a helmet. And the chain armor from the helmet, it went into his cheek. And now blood is coming out of the blessed cheek of the Prophet ﷺ. Such soft skin, the same cheeks upon which tears cried in worship. This cheek now has one of the rings of the chain armor stuck inside of it, right? And it broke his tooth. His tooth was chipped. And the Prophet ﷺ is trying to wipe away the blood, but the blood keeps coming. Until finally one of the companions, while the fighting is happening, they're defending him. Another companion comes over and he grabs the face of the Prophet ﷺ and he tries to pull, but he can't because they're metal. So he takes his teeth and he puts them on there and he pulls them out. And while he pulls them out, his two teeth break, the two front teeth. He loses his two front teeth. You know what they say? They say those two teeth were shaheed, like in that moment. They were shaheed. They say this man had the most beautiful smile for the rest of his life. They say he was missing two teeth for the rest of his life, but his smile was so beautiful because of the barakah. Another companion comes and the blood is coming now that the wound is open, the blood is coming out, and another companion comes and cauterizes it with something and they stuff it into his cheek, and the Prophet is wiping away the blood and he says, "How can people be successful if they're making the face of their prophet bloody? How can they be? How can they be? The fighting continues, but it's a stalemate. Some of the Sahaba have come back and they work their way back to the prophet to protect him. The prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar and a few others, about 20, as I said, they're on this mountain and now it's a stalemate. In the meantime, Hamza radiallahu an, the uncle of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's in the thick of the fight, giving it his all. And Wahshi, who became Muslim later, he was a slave. And Hind, she said, I'll buy yourself freedom and give you money. You just have to do one job. When we go for Uhud, I want you to do nothing else but kill Hamza. Wahshi was a perfect, with a spear. He was excellent. He says, I went to the battle. I didn't care who won. All I wanted was one thing. I just want to get my freedom. He says, I saw this man like a wild camel amongst the people, just laying everyone down around him. But I only had one focus, was him. So he says, I took it and I got it straight. And I threw it. And he says, it hit him in his chest and went out from his backside. And he says, but then he looked at me. He looked at me with this spear in him. And he starts walking to me. And while she goes, I was shook. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed seeing this man with a spear in him coming at me. And he says, right when he got close to me, he collapsed and he died right there. Later, after the battle was over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, where's Hamza? Where's Hamza? And when they found him, they found his body, and the Prophet fell on him and he began to weep and weep and weep like a baby. He began to weep like a baby that his uncle had died. And not only died, but mutilated very viciously by Hind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now is on the mountain, like I told you. He's backed up against the mountain. Abu Sufyan realizes, like, this is a stalemate. There's nowhere to go now. There's nowhere to go. And so they realize, we're just going to leave now. But they're not going to just leave. Abu Sufyan starts yelling insults up. He starts yelling insults up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not sure if the Prophet's alive yet. So he goes, Abu Sufyan, the battle has calmed down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba are up on the mountain, but they can't be reached. So Abu Sufyan yells up. He goes, Yawman biyawmi badr. He goes, a day even for Badr now. The Prophet ﷺ whispers to Umar. He says, Umar, reply to him. Umar's voice was strong. Umar, tell him something, man. Meaning we're down, we lost, but we're not going to be quiet though. We're down, we're lost, we're not going to be quiet. We're going to keep talking back. We're going to keep raising our voice. We have to. So the Prophet says, are y'all going to say something back to him? Say something to him. They say, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say? He said, tell him, La yastawi. He goes, tell him our dead and your dead aren't equal. Your dead are in the fire, ours are in Jannah. So Abu Sufyan realizes that Umar wouldn't say that. That had to be from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he yells back up. He goes, Hubla Mawlana. He says that Hubla is our protector. So the Prophet says, say something back. They say, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say? What should we say? He says, tell them, say, Qulu Allahu Mawlana. Wala mawla lakum. Allah is our protector. Allah is our protector. Allah is our protector. Now here's where it gets really deep, y'all. There were a lot of verses that were revealed. The Sahaba come down, the Quraysh leave, the Sahaba come down, they look after the dead, they bury the dead. And it's a very hard moment. And the Quran speaks very vividly about what's going on in the minds of the Muslims and what we can learn from this. The first thing is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً. Then Allah sent down tranquility on them. This is after the battle. They had tranquility. They felt they were wounded. They were hurt. The Prophet's face is hurt. Everyone's tired. Everyone's wounded. But there was a sakina or a tranquility that came upon them. وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. But there was a group of the believers, they started to get bad thoughts. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. They were having bad thoughts. And this is the key. A lot of us go through hardships and we start to think negative about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of us see what's happening with the ummah and we start to think things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks about that thought in this verse. Listen closely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They're thinking about Allah not in a good way. Jahiliyyah thoughts, before Islam thoughts. Yaquluna, they're saying to themselves, Hallana min al-amni min shay. Man, why couldn't we decide where we should have went? Remember how there were two groups? One said we should have stayed, the other said let's go out. Yukhfuna fi anfusihim ma la yubduna lak. Yaquluna law kana lana. Look what they say. They said, man, if we were in charge, ma qutilna hahuna, this wouldn't have happened. Remember what I told you about the importance of not saying if? Allah right here in this verse says that this group, they were like, law kana lana min al-amni ma qutilna hahuna. Man, if we had made the decision, this wouldn't have happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, this is so beautiful. Qul, O Prophet, say to these people. They didn't even say it, they were thinking it. Same thoughts that we get when we see loss in the ummah or in our lives. Man, if I had just did it differently, it wouldn't have came out like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qul, law kuntum fi buyutikum, labaraza alladhina kutiba alayhim al-qatl ila madaji'ihim. Such a crazy verse. Allah says, if you had stayed in your homes, before I go forward, the place in the moment where you're going to die is maktub. It's written. You can't move ahead of that place or back. That is where your place of death is. That's your spot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says it so beautifully. And I want you to picture the imagery. Allah says, lo kuntum fi buyutikum. If you were sitting at home in your homes, لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ. The people who had it was written for them to die, they would have rushed out of their homes just to go to the spot of death and they would have died there. Meaning for me and you, don't live in this realm of if. What happened, happened, and there was no way you could have avoided it. That is what was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, the very, like two verses down, He says the same thing. Ya ayyuhal ladhina, O you who believe, don't be like the disbelievers. This is referring to the hypocrites. Qalu li ikhwanihim. They said when they went out to fight, lo kanu indana ma matu. Remember Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he went back, right? See, whenever we go through hardships, there's two types of fitna we have to deal with. We have to deal with our own inner demons telling us that we made a bad mistake, but we have to also deal with haters. Trolls, like on the internet, right? We have to deal with us inside that we process it right, but we also have to deal with the trolls and the haters in life. That will tell you, I told you you shouldn't have started wearing hijab. That's why you lost your job. I told you you shouldn't have started praying. I told you you shouldn't have did that. See, this wouldn't have happened to you if you didn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks specifically about them saying, what did they say? Lo kanu indana ma matu wa ma qutilu. They said, man, if you had been home with us, you wouldn't have died or been killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already responded to that. He said, no, the reason for this was, listen to this. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another verse, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ. And the calamity that you went through, the day the two armies met. Number one, listen, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Is by the permission of Allah. The permission of Allah. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And so that God can know who's real mu'min. Who's the real believers? See, what we don't understand is that the tribulations bring out what's true. I told you the story one time, right? Qasim was like, is Qasim in the room? All right. Qasim was like 2 weeks old, y'all. 2 weeks old. Me and wifey were coming back from a halakha. It's like this, right? And I have my friend in the passenger seat. Man, you need to roll with good people, y'all. Karima, Maria in the car, Qasim, me, wife, and my friend. I'm dropping him off after the halakha. This was back in Baltimore. We're sitting at a red light, middle of the night, like 11. Halakha ended late, had to drive, DMV, bad traffic, right? We're sitting at a light, all of a sudden I hear tires screeching, and now you know, guys, right? Bam, a car hits us from behind. Car, like going 50 miles an hour. We're stopping at a red light. Hits us, bam, right? A little PTSD right now, right? Immediately when the car hits, my boy next to me, he screams out, Allahu Akbar. Now, in the moment, it's crazy. The car caught fire. We had to pull the kids out of the car. It was crazy. We were sitting on the side of the road. The fire truck was there putting out the car. And I looked down, I was like, bro, you real, bro? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, do you know what you said when the car hit us? He's like, ah. I was like, nah, bro. You screamed Allahu Akbar. He's like, nah, I didn't. I was like, yes, you did. That's my ace till today, bro. Because the imtihan, the test, brings out what's real. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the calamity happened, number one, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, so that Allah can know who are the true mu'mineen, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا, and to know who's not real. Abdullah ibn Ubay, they showed their true colors. They showed their true colors. They dipped. They went back. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالُوا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَدَفَعُوا. It was said to them, come, fight, join us, defend. They said, oh, there's not going to be a fight. Y'all just going to line up. No fight's going to happen. Allah says about them, يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They're saying with their tongues, that's what is not in their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that you're going to have to deal with haters. The haters are going to tell you, لَوْ أَطَاءُونَ مَا قُتِلُوا. They're going to say, if you had listened to us, you wouldn't be in this bad situation. And your job in that moment is to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you here for a reason. Story's not over, yeah? We get back to Medina. All of the munafiqeen are like, told you so. You should have stayed, Just imagine what that feels like. You did something for the sake of Allah. Some of us messed up. We made a mistake. And I'm going to talk about that mistake in a minute. Some of us messed up. And we lost 70 people. Hamza, the uncle of the Rasul, was mutilated. The Prophet's face is cut. And here are a group of people saying, told you so. Prophet comes back. They pray salah. And the Prophet realizes something. The Quraysh are only a few miles away. They're going to come back and attack. We're a sitting duck. They just defeated us. They're going to come back. And in that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. Those who, about these believers, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, if you believe in the Day of Judgment and Allah, I want you to stand up, we're headed back out to fight the Quraysh. Huh? The Prophet himself is wounded. They have cuts like crazy. The Quran says, قَرْح. Qarh means a wound that you see the bone. They're heavily wounded. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, we got to go back. We have to head back. Now, subhanAllah, some people didn't pass the first test of going in the first place. And now here the next test is coming. The next test is coming. Yo, hold up, before I go forward. About this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. The expectation that the believers are always going to win, we won Badr. You're thinking, oh, it's green now. It's going to just keep climbing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's not the way the believer climbs. The believer climbs gradually. The believer climbs gradually. And every time you take an L, but you take it with iman, that's not an L. That's not a loss. You grow from that. So the Prophet ﷺ says, Ya ibadullah, if you believe in Allah on the Day of Judgment, get up, we got to go back out. Do you know they were to the point that they were carrying the wounded back out? They reach outside of Medina. Unfathomable to me how they're still pushing themselves. What iman they had in that moment. They're still pushing. They reach a place called Hamra'ul Asad. Abu Sufyan was indeed coming back. Because he realized, he was like, why did we leave? The scholars literally say it was a miracle from Allah because he could have went straight to Medina after. But for some reason, he's like, yeah, we won, let's dip. He got a few kilometers out. He's like, wait, hold up. Let's go back to Medina. Prophet ﷺ gets to a place called Hamra'ul Asad. And when he gets to that place, Abu Sufyan had already sent someone to go see where are the Muslims right now. The person comes and he sees the Muslims out for war. And he's like, oh, you who believe, you guys, y'all should be worried. The Quraysh are on their way. And he says, لَبِسَ النَّمِرُ جُلُودِ النَّمِرِ. They have like leopard skins on, meaning they're ready to fight. They have armor on, they're ready to fight. Here's the thing. The stronger you believe in Allah, the more iman you have in Allah, you stop fearing the world because you only have one fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this moment and he says it so beautifully. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسِ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. Those people who others said to them, yo, there's a whole army ready to attack you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, be worried. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Allah says in that moment, so this guy is, he's a messenger, right? So he's talking to the army. And he's like, the Quraysh are coming to attack y'all. Y'all should dip. The Sahaba look at Rasulullah. And the Rasul's like, what did he say? He said that that the Quraysh are coming. What should we say? The Prophet looks at everyone and he says, قُولُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Say, Allah is enough for me and He is the best disposer of affairs. The Sahaba, all of them, they just start chanting it loud. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. We're wounded. We're broken. We don't really want to fight, y'all. But what are we saying? حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. This guy dips. He goes back to Abu Sufyan and he goes, they're crazy. They're crazy. You don't want to fight them. He said, what did you see? He said, I saw them ready to fight and they were saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Abu Sufyan looks at the army. He goes, La taqata lana. We can't fight them. Let's go back. Let's go back. We head back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this moment so beautifully. This word hasbunallah, how many of us, everyone is telling us, yo, you should be worried, bro. Aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? You didn't get any this or this isn't working out, that isn't working out. You should be worried. How many people who are supposed to be close to us, giving us stronger faith, are actually trying to make us more worried? What we should have is people around us that say, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And if somebody comes to you with worries, your job as a believer should not be like, yeah, you should be worried. I would be worried too. La, astaghfirullah. In that moment, the believer needs another believer that will say, just say, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Listen, low key, were they ready to fight? Mentally, spiritually, yes. Materially, not at all. The Prophet was still tending to his wounds. He's still tending to his wounds. But it's not about the material. It's about the spiritual strain. It's about our iman being strong. Look what the Quran says. فَخْشَوْهُمْ. People told them, you should be worried. What happened? فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman went up, not down. Their iman went up. And what did they say? وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. They returned back to Medina. بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضَلْ, and blessings. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءُ. No evil touched them. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. And they just kept looking for the pleasure of God in their life. That's it. It doesn't matter. We're wounded. We're hurt. We don't feel like getting back up. But sometimes after you fall, the best thing is to stand right back up and get right back at it. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did in this moment. Instead of us sitting in Medina and just lamenting over the loss, look at the brilliance of the Rasul. He says, get up, we gotta go. What do you mean we gotta go? We gotta go. And in that moment, that's where the strength came from. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. That's shaitan that tries to make those who are connected to him scared. When you make your worry Allah only, everything else becomes low-key nothing. But when Allah's not in the equation, every little thing will throw you off. What was the wisdom behind this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah says, Allah is not going to let the believers stay as they are until the righteous are separated from the khabith, from the unrighteous. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah is telling the Prophet something here. This was a test to show you who's true, who's real. Who's really about this deen, who's really about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what's the craziest part of all of this? When you go through something hard, may Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us afiyah. But when you go through something hard and you get through it with iman, you know what's crazy? Whenever the Prophet would walk past the mountain of Jabal,
he would say, Uhud, Jabalun nuhibbuhu wa nuhibbuna. He would walk past Uhud and he would say, Uhud is a mountain we love and it loves us. What? That should have been Badr, yo. If it was me and you, we would go past Badr and be like, yo, I love Badr. Because when you realize, I was thinking, why would he say we love Uhud when Uhud was the place of loss? Uhud was the place of loss. Because Uhud wasn't the place of loss, it was the place of growth. It was the place of growth. It was the place where we saw what it meant to be a true believer. It was the place where Talha proved, I will defend the Prophet with everything I have. It was the place when Umm Amara says, I will fight the biggest man in the world to defend the Prophet. It doesn't matter to me. There was one woman, she was back in Medina. And they heard, obviously, because people fled back to Medina, they heard that the Prophet was dead. And so she starts running to Uhud. And people are walking past her. And one person stops her and she's like, the person stops, they're like, stop, your husband was killed. She looks the person in the eye, she says, Kaifa kana Rasul? How is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She keeps pushing forward. Someone stops her a little. They're like, stop, your son was killed. She says, move, how is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How's he doing? How's this one that brought us this message? This one that is guiding us with this message? She gets all the way there. They finally tell her one more family member of hers. Until finally she gets to the Prophet ﷺ, because by now the battle's over. And she says the most eloquent poetry that every musiba ba'daka jalalun, every calamity after seeing that you're here and this guidance is still here and that we still get to be, after that, everything is easy. Everything is easy. So Rasulullah, whenever he would pass by the mountain of Uhud, he would look at this mountain and he would say, I love this mountain and this mountain loves us. Why? Perhaps it's because those hardest moments are the ones that really define who we are. And when we look back, that one bedroom apartment that you lived in and grinded in with wifey, that's the journey. Like, yo, I remember that. Those were the days. Those were the days right there. But what about the people that that left their position? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something beautiful. There's a few things. After this battle, a verse was revealed. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ Muhammad is nothing but a prophet, is not but a prophet. Prophets have come before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ If he dies or is killed, are you going to turn away on your heels? Whoever turns back on their heels, فَلَنْ يَذُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا This verse was revealed after this moment. But it wasn't until many years later that they truly understood what this moment meant, this verse meant. The verse was saying, if the Prophet dies, Allah is alive. The deen keeps going on. Regarding the people that seemingly caused the loss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these beautiful verses. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ It is God's mercy upon you, O Muhammad, that you're gentle with them. Meaning after what they did happen, he was gentle with them. You know what? There's a lot of people that truly try to help us sincerely for the sake of Allah, but they sometimes make a mistake. You know, I was loading the dishwasher the other day. I guess I put them in the wrong way. Y'all don't know the feeling, okay. Tarif, yani, I'm supposed to do it a certain way. So sometimes somebody's trying to do something for the sake of Allah, but they mess up. They do it wrong. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she's looking at me now. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look what Allah says to the Prophet. فَبِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ It is God's mercy upon you that you've been gentle with people. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ This is about people who cause the death of 70 of our companions. Allah says, if you were harsh with them, they would flee from you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ Forgive them. They made a mistake. They thought the battle was over. They saw the spoils of war. They came down. They made a mistake, but they're sincere. How many people in our lives are truly sincere and they want to help, but they make a mistake? Allah says, okay, it's a mistake. Be gentle. Seek, forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ And ask Allah to forgive them. Make dua for them. Make dua for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And can continue to consult them. SubhanAllah, the Prophet did mashwara and the mashwara went the wrong way. Did he close that door? No. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ This is a beautiful moment, guys. A lot of scholars, they say that the main lesson, there's a few main lessons here. The main lesson of this is obedience to the Prophet and obedience to the Rasul. A lot of us, we see dunya right in front of us, and then we throw out the rulings out the door. The failure came because they disobeyed the Prophet. There's 300 places in the Quran where it says, obey Allah and obey the Rasul. But when the dunya gets in front of us, all of a sudden we forget that we have a Prophet to obey. The lesson learned, and the amazing thing is this. The mu'min doesn't make the same mistake twice. The lesson, the sahaba were so unique because when they learned, when they were taught a lesson one time, they never repeated it. What was the lesson in this moment? Obey the Rasul. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if there's a little dunya in front of you, that job offer is looking nice. Obey Allah, obey the Rasul. Keep those teachings right in front of you. The moment you put those teachings aside, that's when the defeat happens. That's when the defeat happens. The other lesson is, just because you've been pushed down, doesn't mean you're not supposed to stand back up and keep going. In that moment, you have to stand back up and keep on pushing. This was the battle of Uhud. This was the battle in which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was told, وَلَا تَهِنُوا Don't give up hope. And this is the message for us as a ummah right now, y'all. وَلَا تَهِنُوا Don't give up hope. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا Don't be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ You will be victorious in كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ If you truly have faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the battle of Uhud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take lesson from it. May Allah allow us to reflect on the struggles of the previous parts of our ummah and appreciate the struggles in mujahada that they did. May Allah give us a love for the Prophet the way the Sahaba loved him. Like, beg Allah, oh Allah, please give us the love of the Rasul. Give us the love of the Rasul. Like Ummi Amara, who is sitting there protecting the Prophet with everything she has. She drops her sword and she's just using her hands to protect the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us some of that love of him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah allow us to silence the word if when the haters say it. May Allah give us the ability to silence that word if when the haters hate on us. May Allah give us the ability to ourselves have good opinions of Allah when we're going through the most difficult moments, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين May Allah accept from us. جزاك الله خير.